Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Hello, and welcome to today's episode, a pocket full of financial wisdom, money lessons learned from mom and dad. So before I share those lessons that I learned from my mom and dad, I want to just talk about money conversations. They don't happen enough, and they don't happen a lot because money is still considered taboo in a lot of settings and a lot of people we have conversations with. So today I want to just talk about five different conversations we should be having, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable they are to us. And the more we talk about money, the easier it will be. Okay, so the first one we should be talking to is ourselves. Yep, you need to be talking to yourself about money. You need to be asking yourself, what do I think about money? How do I feel about money? You know, and what are my goals? How does all of this pertain to myself as an individual? Does money make me happy in a good way, or is it tearing me apart? All of the feels. I want you to think through those, maybe journal some of those. You know, what are your feelings? What are your experiences? As you go through the week, you know, just every night, just go, okay, as I had that transaction, I had that thought. And when I did that transaction, I had this other thought. And just start learning about yourself and money. Do you have a good relationship with money? I've talked before about money should be a tool and it should not be your master. This is one way to start getting into that, to understand your feelings. I held a workshop, and during the workshop, we did a money mindset exercise, and it was about all the ways you should feel. It kind of gave a unfinished sentence and you had to fill it in. And I had a participant respond back and say, I don't know what I feel about money. So it's very important to start digging deeper into ourselves about money and our relationship with money, and if we have a healthy one that is serving us well. Our second conversation we should be having is with our partner or spouse. Whether your finances are together or not, that is separate from this episode. Talk together, meet together and say, are we on the same path? Are we fighting for the same things? Are our goals the same? You know, do we have the same goals for our children? If you have children, do we need to do something different? If not, hopefully one of you is not going right and the other one's going left and you've been fighting against each other with that money growth, right? Since that beginning. So make sure you are talking to your spouse. And this can be in a very unconfrontational type of way. So just sit down and just say, hey, what are your goals with your money? My goals are this, and share, and then hopefully they will share with you. Just start that conversation. It does not have to be formal. It does not have to be with the numbers in front of you. Just talking about what you and your partner or spouse want with your money. Are you both headed in that same direction to either a house, a car, or traveling? Or, you know, what do you both want in 20 years? Just have that conversation. Dream together. Explore that together, because money does serve us in our dreams, and we need to make sure that we are working together with our partner and spouse to make sure that we don't maybe need to make some different changes, some different thoughts, and then pursue those. The third persons, depending on how many, is our children, okay? So if you have children, the things you want to make sure that you talk to them about is, number one, do they know about money? Do they understand their responsibilities as they are getting older? You know, are you letting them explore money prior to them having a responsibility or having a job? I was listening to a podcast about businesses, but the gentleman on there, the guest on there, he said, "My parents always told me that money didn't grow on trees," but they never finished that sentence. He needed them to explore with him, where does money come from, right? Maybe your child needs that as well. Where does money come from? How do I get it? How do I keep it? What do I do with it? Just have the conversation. That was a challenge for us Gen Xers, right? Our parents didn't talk about it. So we might have to ask around. We've had to learn. We've had to grow. So let your kids know. Let your kids start growing and exploring money for themselves, whether through allowance or maybe they, you know, are mowing lawns at a young age, those types of things, so that when they get the money, they then have responsibilities and determine what that is. Let them know at the time they graduate high school, what is their responsibility? What do they need to be prepared for that money will provide for them? Make sure you are having these conversations before they get there so that they can be better set up than you were, or that they have the same advantage that you did, right? So prepare them, help them, show them. I was at an ATM many years ago when I would regularly go for my cash. And my daughter was 6 at the time, and she said to me, "Can I see the money?" Very, very simple, right? I just let her have the dollar bills that I got, and she looked at it, she asked questions about it, and it was good for her to explore. 6 years old, right? She didn't have that money and see that money. So moving on to number 4, our parents. I read an article that asked the question, are you your parents' retirement plan? Do you know that? Do you know if your parents have planned for retirement and or planned for aging beyond retirement? Are they planning on you taking care of them and you don't know about that yet? Are you able to? That is a conversation you need to have with your parents. Make sure you move forward, talk with them, make sure you have that understanding. If you cannot be that and they think so, that is going to be a tough conversation, yes, but it's better to have it now than later. So talk with your parents. You may have to be the ones that start that if they have not, you know, initiated that at all. And there's no reason why you can't talk with your siblings. Make sure somebody has had that conversation with your parents yet. If there's still some holes within that that you're not sure, go and ask them. You know, maybe there's somebody they've already asked to be in charge upon their death. That would be the person to maybe start filling in these blanks, but letting all the siblings know, right? Understanding that things are taken care of or things are not taken care of, and I expect you, or I would like you, or however they frame it, but please have that conversation with them. Now is your time to explore that. And who knows, if that is a great conversation at that time, then you can start exploring money conversations with them later. Learn about their childhood, what they had with money growing up, just to help you be able to learn about money yourself, where it came from, how and why you think the things you do. And the 5th person we should be having a money conversation with. So this is a professional. So this 5th one can change, right? The other 4 would be ongoing. They would be continual and maybe small baby steps. A professional will be easier, but it may change. So these may be several at different times in your lives. So these can be anybody like a financial planner, a financial coach, a tax accountant, an investment advisor, an estate attorney, maybe an insurance broker, anybody who helps better your money or protects your money. definitely be having those conversations, and sooner than later, right? So make that appointment, be prepared for it, ask those questions that you need to get a better understanding. Maybe you're not ready for that professional yet, but if you go and ask them those questions, you know when you will be ready. You know what you can get from them, and you can have a better understanding of money as a whole. Financial conversations between generations can be crucial for not only financial planning, but wealth transfer and avoiding financial misunderstanding. So as I said before, as parents age, it's important for them to communicate their financial situation, including assets, debts, and long-term care plans, so that you know how that will be, what that will take. Maybe you just find out if they have a trust or a will, and where is that, and who's responsible for that. This will help avoid confusion and conflict down the road, as well as ensure that children, so you and your siblings, are prepared to handle any financial responsibilities that arise, right? If your parents are in a lot of debt and you do not know that, then you could find out beforehand and hopefully make some changes that will help them and you. So it is also important for us to have those conversations with our children, like I said earlier, so that they can have good financial habits and ensure that they are prepared for the financial realities of adulthood. Let them know your plans. Yes, we have a trust. Yes, we have a will. Or no, we are going to work on that, or whatever the things, right? Express those things that you're working on and that you hope for and that you want to accomplish and that you hope for them to reach on the other end. So my parents had a trust, but they did not delineate every little thing in the house. So everything was supposed to be divided seven ways, as there were seven of us. And that was all that they pretty much said. But then my dad added, "You will know best what to do, and I hope you will work that out well." While it wouldn't work for every family, I understand that. But being in charge, as I was the executor, I sat down at our initial meeting and I told them, "This is the plan. This is what's written down. But then this is what was expressed for me." And luckily, all of them respected my father and mother as much as they did to make that the most simple process at a most awful time, right? A grievous time for us, that we were able to just two meetings, clean out the house, get everything distributed to who wanted it, who needed it, and then passed on to somewhere else. So please try to start having more conversations. If you just need to start with yourself, maybe you've not done that, and get honest with yourself and create that foundation, and then work to a spouse or a partner. If you don't have that, you know, but you do have children, or you do have parents, then extend it. Take those baby steps at a time. Make it a very simple approach when you start it. Instead of thinking you need to have this list of all these questions and them get answered in one sitting. That is not what is needed, but you just need to start having conversations. All right, so hopefully that helps you build up conversations. There's a whole lot, there's a whole nother side to money conversations. I think they are very important. There's a group out there that is pressing this and trying to help people understand the importance from kids to adults to even coworkers. So maybe we'll expand on those as these episodes go on. So now I just want to share with you these stories, or the lessons I learned from my parents about money. And some of it was actual words, but some of it was just observations. And then at the end, right? Okay, so the first story is about maintenance and care. So my parents always talked about, you know, being careful with stuff and taking care of it. Make sure you maintain it. Make sure you know, all of the things, from your car to your furnace to your filters in your fridge, all of the things. But this really took really blossomed, I guess, for me and my understanding at the time that we sold my parents' home. So when we sold it, the realtor said, just, you know, explain all that you do know. And I did know quite a bit, considering that I'd been helping my parents for several years and I was aware of a lot of things. But they asked if I could find out the year of the furnace and the air conditioner. So I said, yes, they had an HVAC guy for a while. So let me reach out to him and I'll let you know. So I did. He said, get the serial plates and that will tell us the year. So there's something for you to know that the year is on your serial plate. So he came back and he said they are both 30 plus years. And then he had a caveat. The only reason they are functioning and have not broke down is that your father maintain them and had me come and maintain them once a year. So by putting in that effort to have them come, have them do whatever service they do on it, check it for any issues and take care of problems before they became a major problem, just showed that these things can last for quite a while. I was in a networking group with an HVAC person and a home inspector, and they both said, if your furnace is getting 10 years, between 10 and 15 years old, don't expect it to last much longer. And granted, my parents is an older version, but I still believe that maintenance will get you through, right? Taking care, not making it do anything harder than it should, changing the filters on anything that has a filter and putting in that little bit of maintenance work will save you money on the flip side. All right, story number two. So I learned from my parents about replacing and repairing in stages. Although at the time that I was really, really aware of stuff, my house was in a state of remodel for many years. So my father, being an electrician, and his home was built in 1947, this was in the 80s, decided to upgrade all of the electrical and do all of the subfloors. So we had brand new subfloors with just pieces of carpet on them that they had pulled up. We had exposed insulation because he was doing all of the wiring and upgrading that and then putting the insulation in. And then eventually he got to the wallboard, right? The putty, the painting, and all of those things. But it just showed me that you can have a nice home. You don't have to go and buy a new one, but you do need to be prepared for those stages of repair and remodel. Take them in small bits, right? They chose to do it over all of those years so that they wouldn't have to take an extra loan out. They had put an addition on that came with a loan. The rest of it was just done as they could afford it. So we had a clean house. We had a nice house, I guess, because to me it was just, that's the way it was until Dad got done fixing everything. And we all put in the work. We all helped out when we could, right? We didn't know electrical, but we knew painting. We could help with putty. We could help with sanding. So it just, you know, had all of those things in it. So rather than realizing that I have a new home and nothing's going to need to be repaired or replaced, just know that it may not be for a while, but it will eventually catch up to you. Be prepared for that. Saving some money now, and then start tackling them bits by bits. Hopefully things don't break down all in one year. All right, the last story I have to share is quality over price. Sometimes we need to look at this, and it depends on what expenses you might have. But as I was growing up, I was the younger of a large family. And so I had nieces and nephews who were just younger than me. So I remember my mom saying, because I had a nephew who was very high energy, was outside all the time, played hard, and he would wear out his shoes. Like every other month he was wearing out his shoes. My mom said if his mom would just realize, instead of buying them at the less expensive store and spending just a little bit more, they would last a little bit longer. So instead of six shoes a year, maybe she would have only had to buy three or two. Who knows how long those nicer shoes would have lasted. So I know when we go to buy something, that cost at that time at the register may be steeper than we want, but if we think quality and know that it will get us longer, it will get us further, that we can be saving money during that time. Sometimes we need to watch and evaluate those purchases and determine that a little bit more expensive for a little bit better quality because it will last us longer and replacement won't need to be happening right quick away. All right, so that is it for my episode. But before I close, I want to give you an action item to go and do. I want you to go back to the beginning of the episode when we talked about the five different conversations, and I want you to choose one and have that conversation within a week. If you are struggling with how to do that, please reach out to me. Find me on Instagram at elevate_finances. Send me a DM. Let's walk you through it so that you can get those conversations going and so that you can be in a better place with your money. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Do you have any questions from today's episode? Send me a message on Instagram. I'd love to help you gain more clarity around today's topic. Want more exclusive tips, trainings, and resources to help you hit your financial goals fast? Grab my free resource at elevatefinances.us/subscribe. And join my free community to receive access to best tips, tools, and resources in your inbox weekly. And if you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track for retirement, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about one-on-one coaching.